Yorkshire Britpop icons Shed 7 have announced a new album and an autumn tour, with huge 30th birthday celebrations to follow in 2024. The Going for Gold and Chasing Rainbows hitmakers have a lot to celebrate over three decades, including seven top 20 hits and four top 10 albums. Their popularity has continued since reforming in 2007. Their 2017 Instant Pleasures album debuted at number 8, their highest charting record in 18 years. Forthcoming album, A Matter of Time, out January the 5th, looks all set to beat that number 8 slot if the first singles from it are anything to go by. A ticket to see their October tour is a must, but hurry, shows are selling out. See ticket details in this post. Well, that's some introduction, and deservedly for my special guest today, the man himself, lead singer Rick Whitter. Rick, how are you?
Graham, what an intro that was.
That's not bad, is it? Straight off the top of my head.
It was amazing. I had to sit down all those facts.
Well, do you know what? You've achieved a lot, and we'll talk about the 30 years in a minute. I don't even say that. It makes me feel old. But do you have to pinch yourself when you think about everything you've achieved, Rick?
Do you know what? The older I get, the more I just think, luck is the wrong word, because we're a great band and we put a lot of effort and energy into it, even at this age. So it's not particularly luck, but the fact that we're still here doing it after so many years within an industry that's so fickle and can turn and turn the back on you at any point, especially in this day and age where you could say one word wrong and be cancelled. The fact that we're still here doing it and doing it well and still getting a great reaction is such an amazing thing. So, you know, straight off the bat, I've got to say that, you know. I do often, my dad used to say this to me, he did used to say, every now and again, you've got to stop and smell the roses, because you can get caught up in it a little bit too much, more so back in the 90s when it was album after album and tour after tour and going all over the world. It becomes, as horrible as it sounds, it does become a job, even though it's one of the best jobs in the world. But you have to every now and again stop and realise what you've done. And for me, I think the first time that I ever even discovered anything about what we'd really done and been through was in 2007 when we reformed to do a Greatest Hits tour, simply because we just missed playing live. And all we were doing was playing our old back catalogue years after we'd had about a 4-year break, but we were playing songs that were 13 years old at this point, and everyone who was coming was just singing it like it was the best thing they'd heard, and it made me stop and think, hold on a minute, so what we actually did in the 90s actually meant something to people, because at the time you're just doing it, but you don't really have the time to stop and assess, really, because you're being told you've got to go there, and then you've got to write that, and then you've got, oh, what about this B-side thing that you've got to finish, you know. So it was always a very, very full-on thing. So I think now we're in a brilliant position where we're steering the ship, basically. Now we do what we want when we want, and it makes it so much more enjoyable, and it makes you have that opportunity to stop and assess and to kind of appreciate what you're doing. You know, I think a lot of that is an age thing, and I think that's why perhaps the last album 6 years ago and this one have and hopefully will shock a few people, because we have been here for a long time, and I think we're coming up with some of the best work we've ever done at this age.
Well, they do say, Rick, that the harder you work, the luckier you get, which I guess paraphrases what you've been saying there. And I guess in terms of coming up to smell the roses, that must happen then when you go on tour, so that's about to happen. And also with a bit of a reflective look at the new album as well, where you kind of, like I say, if the latest single has got something to go by, Kissing California, then it really feels like, it reminds me of the early Shed 7, but it's just like as though you've gone back to your roots a little. Tell me then about this tour, and then we'll talk about the album. First of all, what can fans expect?
Well, fans who've been in the past know exactly what they're going to get. And anyone who perhaps hasn't been but has heard our music, we like to, you know, we're one of these bands where we'd get lynched if we didn't play particular songs from our past. You know, there's certain songs where if we walked off and said goodnight and we hadn't played them, there'd be a chorus of boos, I'm sure. So we have to kind of just make sure that we're catering for everyone to an extent, in the sense that, yes, we have to acknowledge our history, but it's just as important to include what we're doing now. Obviously, we've written some new stuff, so we want to go out and show it off to people. So it just means that the problem that we have, we only get a certain amount of time to do a show. So what in the past would have meant that we could cherry pick great album tracks or potential better B-sides to include into the set, they're going to have to take a back seat for a while because we have new songs that we need to play. We like to put on a show. I think it's really important to put on a show. I've always had the mindset that if somebody's going to spend their hard-earned money on buying a ticket to come to see us, I want them to leave the venue at the end of the night going, do you remember when that happened? And do you remember when he said that? And do you remember when he fell over? You know, I want people to go away with good memories, because I've been to see so many bands in the past and the bands don't look like they're even bothered about being there, and that offends me slightly. So it's loud, it's rock and roll, it's bright, it's cheerful, and it's exactly what you should expect.
Your October dates, 19th at Cardiff, 20th in London, 21st Nottingham, 23rd Stoke-on-Trent, 24th Wolverhampton, 26th Glasgow, 27th Middlesbrough, and then finally 28th at Manchester. Now, that means no Yorkshire dates. Fans have got to get the passports written, get over to Manchester or Nottingham. What's happening?
There is method in our madness. It just so happens that 2024 is our 30th anniversary year, so it'll be 30 years since the debut album came out next year. So we have to think these things through. It basically opens up so many opportunities for us to play in our home county next year. So can't really give too much away right now. But what I would say is, for a start, it's great to know that the very, very first week of our 30th anniversary year, we're releasing a brand new album. That's a great way to start the anniversary year. And then there'll be lots and lots being announced as the year goes on, with a lot of Yorkshire involved in that. So all I can say is, if you're a fan of Shed 7, I'd buckle up. And if you're not, I'd hide under a rock for a year.
Oh, fantastic. That's just the news that we all wanted, Rick. Thank you for that. Now, I need to ask you about that A Matter of Time, which is great, isn't it? Because we're talking about 3 decades here, 30 years. That is quite a bit of time. 30 yeah. years together. I mean, does it make you feel old?
No, it doesn't at all, to be honest. You know, I mean, it's actually more than that, really. I mean, that was when the first Shed 7 album came out in 94, but we formed in 1990. And pre that, when we were kind of 15, 16, we were in school bands together. So really, me and Paul have been working together and friends since we were about 13. So it's actually a lot longer than just 30 years. So no, I don't really look at it like that. I'm kind of pleased that we still have the opportunity to do what we love doing. And I also think that the older we get, we kind of just seem to get better at doing it. So God knows what we're going to be like in another 30 years, Graham.
Don't you think, though, that it's not a question of getting better at what you do, it's changing completely what you do? I mean, the industry's changed completely since 30 years ago, surely.
Yes, it has massively, and we're still learning the ropes in that respect, because we, you know, the last album was 6 years ago, and even in that 6 year period of time up until now, it's massively changed again. So, you know, we've signed to Cooking Vinyl Records for a couple of albums, and they're being great at just guiding us through how the music industry works these days. But brass tacks is you sit down and you write a song and everything else just falls into place. You know, if you've written something that you feel good enough, then, and that's exactly what we did last year. It's funny because when we wrote A Matter of Time, we only started writing it in March 2022 last year, and we'd finished writing it by December 2022, and that's pretty much unheard of for us. We usually take a lot longer over these things. But for some reason, I think me and Paul last year just got onto a right purple patch and spent that period of time just coming. So many ideas were flowing lyrically. It was all just gushing out of me. And it just seemed to just really work. And weirdly as well, talking about the fact that we met when we were 13, me and Paul, and started kind of saying we're going to be in a band and stuff, and writing, obviously when you're 13, not the best things, but it's a start, you have to start somewhere. But I think subconsciously throughout last year, while we were writing this album, we were kind of looking back at our younger selves while we were doing it. So subconsciously, there's a few hints at what we might have been listening to when we were 14 and 15 and 16. So there is little, there's little bits of U2 in there, and little bits of Simple Minds, and little bits of Duran Duran, and little bits of the House Martins. Because through the Britpop era, it was all kind of a bit more kind of, I don't know, the Stone Roses were a big thing and all of this, which is quite obvious, really. But I think we'd gone back way beyond that, really. So, you know, as much as this album is very, very Shed 7, I think if you're a Shed 7 fan, you've got no worries. You're going to love it. I can quite confidently say that.
Well, I've been banging on about your latest single, but I'm also, you've got another one out, haven't you, now? That's FKH as well.
Yes, yes. So that's one that was a bit of an in-joke and a bit of an accident, but turned into a bit of a monster, to be honest. That came about from a sound check we were doing in Oxford at some point last year. And Paul started playing this riff, and I'm asking him on the stage, what's this? And he's saying, I don't know, I'm just mucking about. So I sarcastically started singing the melody and the words to one of our really early B-sides over the top of it, because it just seemed to fit. And everyone had a bit of a laugh. But then we took it into the dressing room after the sound check and thought, there is something here. So what was a little bit of an in-joke has turned into this particular track now. It just took on its own life and became its own little monster.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it started as a joke and now isn't a joke.
Fantastic. Well, you know what? You started out by saying to me that, you know, you've got all these big plans and that, you know, what we'll be doing in 30 years' time. I mean, that's quite possible. I've just seen the Rolling Stones do a press release for the latest album. I think they've all turned 80. And they look like they're going to go for another 80 years. I mean, do you think that Shed 7 have got 30 years left in them? Is that the intention?
Well, without a doubt. If we're still active enough and fit enough and we've still got the muse, then without a doubt, when I'm 80, I will be talking to you, without
Brilliant.
A doubt.
Brilliant.
You know, I mean, I
don't know if
honestly,
I'll be here, though, Rick, but you'll be here.
I honestly, you know, I see this more and more over the last few years, and I see it more and more happening. When we put a show on and we arrive on the stage, I look out at the crowd, and I'm not kidding, there's so many young kids at the front or
Absolutely.
On the dad's shoulders halfway back. You know, the last couple of gigs we've done, I've seen a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, but the thing is, they're singing every word. So they're not there under sufferance or because the parents couldn't get a babysitter. They're there because they want to be there. They're wearing the Shed 7 T-shirt, they're
Absolutely.
Singing every word. And I make a point of singling these kids out and asking them, how old are you, what's your name? And then I make sure that I introduce these kids to the rest of the crowd. They get a big cheer. And, you know, that to them is a great thing. You know, they're getting a bit of attention. So that 5-year-old more than likely will come back when she's 7 and then when she's 9 and then when she's 11, and that will make us the new Rolling Stones.
So, Rick, I know that time's pressing and we've only got another couple of minutes, but there's a couple of things I do want to ask you. I want to ask you about some of these special guests that you've got on the new album. I know that you're singing with Peter Doherty, which is fantastic. And I think also you've got Happy Mondays legend Rowetta as well. But the person who I'm really, really fond of, she's a very good friend of mine, Laura McClure, of Reverend of the Makers, turning up on a folky pop song called Tripping With You. Now, I'm not,
yes.
I don't know whether or not I dare ask you much about that song title. But I mean, what was it like to perform with Laura and indeed with Peter and Rowetta?
Well, so Laura recorded her vocals remotely, so we didn't actually get the chance to see her doing it. But the actual title might be slightly misleading. That song, basically, I wrote it as a love song. And the more I was writing it, the more I was feeling that it was a bit too lovey-dovey, a bit too sentimental. The thing is, when we asked Laura, we kind of said to her, can you do it in a certain way? And she just nailed it immediately. Basically about stalking.
Is there a chance that some of these legends might be joining you on stage on the autumn tour? Could we see Laura on stage with you?
Well, that would be an absolutely brilliant thing to do. If we're playing local to Laura and she wants to come out and get on the stage and sing with us, that would be absolutely amazing.
So, Rick, will fans then be getting to hear some of the new album first live on tour this autumn?
Yes, we'll definitely be playing three or four brand new tracks, a couple that people have already heard, which is always good, because if people have heard it, then they've got to know it a little bit, and hopefully they can sing along with me. But yeah, there'll definitely be three or four brand new tracks around the hits that we will be doing.
And we'll put in links so that people can download the album as well. But I notice it's coming in all different kinds of various formats, including, I think, it's either a pink or green or a pink cassette. Now, you're not jumping on the Barbie bandwagon, are you?
Of course, it's all the rage, Barbie. All the rage.
Rick, listen, it's been an absolute pleasure. I could speak to you all afternoon. I'm sure we'll speak again very soon. But thank you ever so much for your time.
Good man. Thank you very much, mate.